Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. How y'all doing, everybody? Y'all good? It's not going to fit in there. Good. It will do. Maybe I won't step on it. Everybody okay? So am I. Okay. First of all, Mrs. Hogan and I are still together. That's a miracle. She's a blessing. It's a blessing for her to be here. You don't know this because I'm not a crybaby person. But I was in last year in the fall. I was over in Europe. I was there. I flew over there, flew back. So it was my second time. And we were, when I got there, just got off the jet in Frankfurt and rented a van and got on our way into the, made it to Switzerland and crossed the border and got into the hotel and all that. And we was trying to get used to the time change and all of that and the difference in the foods and everything and how it is. And phone rings about 2 o'clock in the morning and it's my daughter-in-law. Jody, my son Jody's wife, called to tell me that Mrs. Hogan had fallen and cracked her head on the concrete and that she's probably going to die. And swelling went internal. She went into a coma a ways and it got really bad for us. And I didn't know what to do. I just started that trip and things were set up, big conferences in Switzerland and Spain and France and Germany and Denmark and England and around. And it's very difficult to leave those kind of things, but it's more difficult for me to let not be with her when she's in trouble. But the great Holy Ghost, didn't know what to do. I've been in ministry a long time, been around lots of ministers that's been in this kind of trauma a lot. All of us go through it, all of us. And people make different decisions based on what they know about Jesus at that moment in their life. And I don't have a thing to say about it, negative or positive. It was my turn. And I decided to give it 3 days. And that I was going to stick to the schedule. Got to the first conferences in Switzerland. And man, Jesus came. It was good. And the third day, my daughter-in-law called me and told me that she had come back to us. And we went through quite a battle. And I just want to encourage you that these battles make you strong. No one likes them. Not anybody in this room likes them. You don't even like to talk about them. You don't even like to know that they exist. You prefer to live in an atmosphere where you don't have to put up with that sort of a life, but that's not how a life is. Life is real for everybody, and we all have to live it. All right? But I just want to tell you, we went through quite a battle, and I stayed gone a long time. But she was progressively getting better. And some of the conversations we had on telephone, she don't even remember them. And it got real hard. And one of the first questions you'll ask me in private, but I'm not going to even talk to you about it, is what hospital, what y'all use? We didn't. We used Jesus. And my most prized possession that I hold dear to me on this planet, Ms. Hogan, was in peril and I needed help, and Jesus came, touched her. And then when I got back, I kept her close. And and we was going on a trip somewhere, I think Chicago. And we didn't know if she could even make the trip. That was 5 months after the accident. Still, she was not there all the way. A lot of her was back, but some of her was missing. It was difficult. And we decided, her and I together decided for her to, let's step out in faith for her. And when we did, God healed her. When we went on that trip, yeah, it's awesome. Because those kind of brain damages are difficult. And they take a long time to heal. And we got time in Jesus' name. But I need her. I'm traveling a lot. And we got work in all continents now that's inhabited. And we've got things to do. And I don't need that trauma. But when we took off, it's very difficult for her, but the Holy Ghost, every day she got stronger on the road. And in your mind, our intellect teaches us something else. You need the rest, you need to be home, you need to be in a non-stress situation, not hyped up environment. And that seems like that's the right thing in my mind too, but actually that wasn't what we needed. We needed the Holy Ghost, and we needed to be in Holy Ghost fire services, regardless of the cost to us. And then God healed her, and then we went. I was able, as soon as I got back from there, I was able to go. I had to go to Brazil, and when I was gone, she had a week for her was off from travel, but not for me. And then when I got back, we flew to Australia. Immediately, she went. And that was going to be the test, that 24-hour flight, and then plus three services off day, two services a day, all over Australia, New Zealand. And ever since we made the decision, God's brought her right back to us. She's healed. And I just want to, that's a blessing for us. It's a good thing. You need to hear that. You don't need to, I mean, you do need to hear that we go through that too. And we're going through it this time with success. All of them are not successful, but this time it is. Success meaning what we wanted. Do you understand what I mean by success? Okay. With God, all things are successful. Whether our flesh enjoys it or not, it's another story. Isn't that right? All right, now look, y'all. Our work in Mexico is completely off the charts. I don't even know where to start with you. It's only been a year since I was here. Our work is, we're almost 600 churches now. Since January, we've had 18 dead raisins. Since January. It's phenomenal. I'm going to offload information to you right now. That's going to, some of you are going to get completely mad at me, but I have not very much to do with this. This is God's fault. I'm just at the right place at the right time. And that also is God's fault. But y'all got to listen to me. There are some good things happening. I know that fear is rampant. I know that. I have been on five continents in 4 months. I know what's out there. I've been in villages as well as large cities and great big mega churches. I've been in every aspect of it. And I've got some good information for you. We are winning. It doesn't look like it on paper. It doesn't look like it with numbers. Those things are completely not relevant. Look, there's a verse I want to start with y'all. There's two miracles I want to tell you. And then there's a story, just a fragment of my life that I just lived. I must needs tell you about it. I mean, it's so awesome how God's allowing us to live in a perpetual life of supernatural. I didn't look for that. I didn't know that it was available. I looked for Jesus. And when I found Jesus, the things that came along with him are phenomenal things. still we're finding out the impact of all the things he's brought us. Let me just look here. This verse, I talk about it all the time. And I don't know how long it's going to be that I'm not talking about it. It's just on me, and it's right. In Luke, please. See, our work in Mexico now has Luke chapter 3. Our work in Mexico now has missionaries from, all right, we have missionaries from the Indians. You have us, our group of missionaries that live, that have come from different nations, and we formed a group. And we live a particular way, and we believe a particular way, and we're going to do that till we die. And we work hard. And that's how we're going to do, that's what we think's right. So, okay? But over the years now, the Holy Ghost has just exploded that work. It's just, golly, it's big now. There's so many churches that are in our group, I don't even know the pastor's names. It's wonderful. I used to know everybody's kids' names. In the one little village church we had three people at. And I was happy then about that, like I am now about the big one. You hear me? There's something that has come on me from young and has stayed on me. It's expectancy. I don't ever go anywhere that I don't expect, regardless of the political climate, the social climate, the financial climate, church climate. None of those things are relevant, in my opinion. They're just not. The only thing is if I'm supposed to be there. That's what's relevant. And everything else will work out. God's way. Right here, there's this verse. It just absolutely is stuck on me. But the thing about this verse is it's expanding. I'm running into more and more things in the Bible now in different languages. I'm learning lots of different languages still. And I have to because of how God's letting us work. But right here, the people were in suspense. In Amplified, it says suspense and waiting expectantly. See, my whole life, I key on the baptism in the Holy Ghost and the fire of God and getting people healed. Those three things are what's predominant in me personally. When I'm here tonight, you're here. The reason we are here is it's not so you can hear some great stories. You're going to. I mean, these things I'm fixing to tell you, your eyes are going to, your jaw's going to the chest. It's fixing to happen. In its own purpose, and I'm going to figure out. And I'm telling you, to be able to have lived what I'm fixing to tell you is all right. I'm serious. I am a blessed man. I'm a blessed man. There's lots of revival taking place. What you see and what you know may not be what's happening. You could be out of touch. Well, right now in my life, I'm not. That great Holy Ghost is moving. And it is frightening how he wants to move. Just now in Hawaii, you know, when I say the word Hawaii, you think luau's and beaches. That's not what I was doing. I was doing conferences in Holy Ghost fire. We had healings, we had deliverance, we filled up a church with new converts in Hawaii. We had gold in the air you could hardly see. I don't know what it was, what kind of material. I don't know what the actual material was. Didn't send it off and have it analyzed. But it was gold and they were big. Some of them were nugget size. And it was all over these kids that were worshiping God. It's impressive to me. There was a street mother. Do you understand that term? Or are you too far removed from what real street people are? There was a street mother. Prostitute, cocaine, heroin, addicted mother. Came up there with this little, well, she was delivered. She came up there with this baby. And I'm going to pray for it. She didn't even know how to approach me, what to say to me to get me to pray for the baby. She didn't know the right, she hadn't learned the church language yet. And I looked at that baby. It was lights like these. It was right on us. Because they had cameras and such. The baby's face was just glittering. I thought the mother had painted it on her, on the baby. And I asked the mother, I said, do you have any glitter? She said, no. I mean, she had tattoos. I mean, she was not the glitter type. there is some glitter types. But she wasn't one of them. I said, well, look here, turn around and she face your baby the way I'm looking at it. Well, she turned around and saw that baby was painted. We took the clothes and looked at it, and under the clothes everywhere, the whole baby was painted with gold glitter all over it. That was pretty nice. She started crying, and I said, you've made the right decision. She said, what is that on my baby? She didn't have a clue. I said, what that's called is the presence of God. I said, it won't stay there. If you tried to wash it off, it would come right back on the baby. Heaven has decided to touch his child. Whatever you came for, I can pretty much guarantee you that it's done. And it was true. The baby did get healed. And she just, from then on, she was at every service. We was doing two a day. She was at every service. She got full of the Holy Ghost, completely delivered. And on and on and on, and her life's turned completely around, right? See, it's what in your life gives you suspense? What really gives you activation? What is it that you expect? Let's go over here to see if I can find this verse in Psalms. I know it's in the 80s, Psalms 80 something. Psalms 85, it is. I was in Australia just a few days ago. And this little grandma lady walks up to me. And she was weeping. Brother David, I need you to touch me again. I said, well, what does that mean to me? That means to you that I'm dying with cancer. I said, all right. What does the word again mean? Because I don't miss a whole lot. When you talk to me, I pay attention to the word. It means something when people talk. She said, when you was here 7 years ago, I was dying in a hospital with three kinds of cancer. You didn't come, but you sent a handkerchief, laid the handkerchief on my face. They prayed for me. I was instantly healed. She said, but just now, that was 7 years ago, just now, it has reoccurred on me. And it came out of her chest. She opened her shirt and showed me. There's a hole where cancer ate out of her chest, ate out of it, and eat up her neck. And I was just standing there. It was ugly. You understand what I mean by that? It was god awful, not nice to look at. In a church altar. And I asked her, I said, all right, you've been healed. You know what it takes. You know what it takes to hold your healing. You held it for 7 years. I said, now, what are we going to do? Now listen to her words. She said, I believe. See, her expectancy was up. I believe that when you lay hands on me, the same thing that happened to me last time will happen to me again. You know my response was to that? I believe you're right. It's true. So I laid my hands on her in the name of Jesus. I guess we did like, what, 4 or 5 times during that conference. They were at every service. No visual healing, no improvement. Actually, it was pain was increasing. The more we prayed, the more we increased the pain. Third night, we was gone. I was already in Sydney. Third night, she woke up with dreadful pain, went to the bathroom, called her husband in, and the thing was closing up. And in 1 week, the outer skin regrew. Went to the doctors. It is, the doctors call it a phenomenon. Unexplainable. Now it's completely closed up and the cancer's out of her body again. And she's back on the platform on the keyboard. All right. Expectancy. You should do, I expect God to move here tonight, no matter who's here, who isn't here. To me, the fewer the people, the better you're going to get it, because it's more like a tutored class. That's true, you know. I like that, what I just told you. I got an email, my son-in-law put it through the copier and gave it to me. You know what she said to me? She said, thank you. That's it. But you see, at least I got the email. You hear me? I need to know where you are in your life. What are you doing with what you got? Your expectancy level has got to come up. You are not going to go anywhere without it. You are not going to complete anything. It doesn't make me any difference who you are, what your job description is, what your preferences are, who you know, what schools you've been to. Those things are irrelevant when it comes to touching open wound cancers. You hear me? All right. Back up to Psalms 82. It's just across the page. I have a dual parallel Bible up here, and so it's across the page for me. The ones of you that don't, it's on the same page probably. Psalms 82. There's a term here used in the Amplified Bible in Psalms 82 in verse 5, I think it is. Yep. But look at verse 4. It says, deliver the poor and needy. Rescue them out of the hand of the wicked. See, you cannot do that without expectancy. If you're waiting for God to manifest through that roof, you're going to be waiting a long time. It is possible. He does it sometimes. But it's impossible to know when and where. Your calculations are going to be off. And they don't have to be off very far for you to be 1,000 miles away when he sits down. So the best avenue for you is to seek God the way they did in the old days. Don't go, listen, there's this big division taking place in the church worldwide about how to approach new converts. There's a seeker-friendly idea and the hard approach, like a fellow like me. Just in your face, blunt, boom. I'm seeker-friendly. If you don't know that term, you will shortly. It's splitting the church. But I am a seeker-friendly fellow. I'm seeking people who need to be friendly with Jesus. I can do without Starbucks, but I can't do without Jesus. You hear me? You better hear me. And you better check out them packages. Starbucks packages. There's a God on there. Or a goddess. And it's from hell. So I'd be careful what I allowed in my church if I was you. But anyway, that's your business. My business is seeker friendly. So if you're looking for Jesus, we're going to do fine. But there's a word, there's a phrase in the fifth verse. The magistrates and judges know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in the darkness. What's this? Of complacent satisfaction. That right there is a seriously evil term. Most Christians in America are satisfied. Most Christians in America are complacent. It doesn't make me not believe in you. I believe in you. I believe in you as a person. If I didn't, I would not be here. I would not be trying to talk to you. And it's not talk sense into you. It's talk you into loosing the gifts that you've got. You are full of the Holy Ghost. You have the power of God in you. There's not one of you that does not have the power in you right now, sitting here. Everybody in here can raise the dead. Everybody. 100%. A really good thing has happened to me. In one of our villages I was in just a few months ago, we were having a conference. There was probably, 700 or 800 folks there. Maybe I don't think it was quite 1,000. And we were having a good time. The Holy Ghost fell. I mean, I don't know how to describe it to you other than put you out in that Atlantic Ocean out there in a rowboat and take you oars and a hurricane come along. Then you understand what we was in. It was overwhelming waves of the power of God. And it was taking over the service. And you say, well, that's what we want. You're right. But we don't know, we've been in so many of them, we don't know when to back away and when to preach. It's a good problem to have, actually. That great Holy Ghost, I'm standing there, and they called out my name, and I got up there, and I started saluting the brothers. I mean, there's these waves of power are already bigger than we can take. I'm not going to get to do anything. I doubt if I'll even get one verse out. And there's a blind lady sitting over there. She said, is that Brother David? And her granddaughter said, yes, it is. Take me to him. I heard the conversation. It was in Nahuatl, their dialect, but I heard it. Here she comes. She's blind. She's hanging on to her grandbaby. And I see her come. I just keep going. And these waves are rolling in of power. And these people are being tossed around. The second Grandma touched me, the Holy Ghost blew that place up. She touched me, and it's against the rules. Even though she's blind and she's a grandma, she still can't break protocol. She can't touch. I'm not only from another tribe, I'm from another nation. I'm a foreigner. But she grabbed a hold of me and began to say, thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the gospel. Because of the gospel you brought to our nation, my entire family, there's dozens and dozens of people that are born again, the rapists, the murderers, the thieves. It's over. Our family sits around and worships God now. And this is lady, she's not healed yet. She's still blind. But her gratitude. Did you hear me? Her gratitude and her spirit was phenomenal. It opened a catastrophic door of power. That wind blew in there and it was over. I don't know, we went, 4 or 5 hours. God just came in. That was the end of it. I woke up later. I never saw Grandma again. I don't know what happened to her. I don't know if she's still blind or healed. I have no idea. I found Ms. Hogan. We're guarding because they don't. The women and men aren't allowed to mix, especially in this kind of a situation where everybody's out of control. I mean, I don't mean you have the right. You know, y'all go with these verses, you know, the spirit is subject to the prophet. That's unless God comes. You, boy, if he comes, he takes over whatever he desires, and ain't no prophet can stop him. He's bigger than the spirit of the prophet, I promise you. Amen. That you can trust me on. And we were sitting there, right, being blown away, and I don't even know what. Nothing you can do. He's just got control of the service. He's going to do with it what he wants to. And it went on and on and on and on and on. People are saying, you know, look at Jesus. He's giving gifts and people are prophesying. I mean, this stuff's happening all over the place. But watch this. Right in the middle of it all, a little Indian woman she can't read, she can't write. She's barefooted. She comes walking in there and she's got a little baby. She hands this little baby to my daughter-in-law. And she turns to me and my wife and tells us, she grabs our hands, thank you for the gospel. I'm going, uh-oh. Because this is what happened last time when God took off the first time. This thing's not going to have no end. I don't know what. It's been going for hours already. You physically can't, you're not capable of the stamina is just not there for the human body to take that much of heaven. I'm sorry. It's just amazing. And I'm looking. I want her to address me. I want to know why you got a young Indian woman. She can't read or write. She's, in y'all's opinion, ignorant. But not mine. Nor God's. What's this? She lives in a stick house with a dirt floor and a grass roof. It's probably about this size right here, her whole house. And she's crying and weeping and telling us, thank you for the gospel. I said, all right, that's awesome. Why are you so grateful? She said, it was my baby. I said, what about your baby? Oh, my baby died, Brother David. And I'm looking at it, you know, and it's kicking and crying because it wants its mama. I said, your baby's alive. She said, oh, yeah, I know. Thank you for the gospel. I said, what are you telling me? She said, this is what I'm telling you. When my baby died, I didn't come get you. I didn't come get the elders. I didn't come get pastors. I went and got my neighbor. She's a prayer friend of mine. What's this? We prayed 2 days. And God gave me my baby back. Now, I don't know what you heard. You might have just heard, you know, just this fabulous dead raising. That's not what I heard. I mean, I heard that. Of course I did. But I heard something else. I heard grassroots church members raising the dead without big shot elders or anybody else. Did you hear me? All right. That's what I want you to hear. I want you to get that. And I want you to take it home. And I want you to mull over it. And I want you to let it capture you. Because I want you out of this complacent satisfaction. And I want you into this expectancy of the great Holy Ghost. All right? And I will have my way. I will not be denied. There's a certain percentage of you that will listen to me. You will hear what I'm saying deeper than the great stories. Psalms 85. Verse 4. Amplified. Restore us, O God. See what? When y'all pray for revival, what are you praying for? Is it for yourself personally? Yes. Is it for your family? Absolutely. Is it for your nation? Of course it is. What you're asking God for is restoration of something that's happened already one time. And I know the answer to that. Because so far, and mercy has been extended to us in our work, we haven't ever had a lull. We haven't gone into a stupor and lost. We haven't lost the beginning powers. We still got it. It's still with us. And it's growing. It's growing just because of sheer numbers, I think. Honestly, I don't know why it's growing. I'll leave that to you theologians. I just know that it's working. But what I do know that you're looking for is restoration. You need God to restore in your spirit the power of expectancy and suspense in the Holy Ghost. A lot of you say, well, I never even had it in the first place. Then we won't fuss at you, but we will let you join us. You're okay to join. It's all right. Look what this says. Restore to us, O God. Cause your, what is that? Your anger toward us to cease forever. Will you be angry with us forever, O God? Will you prolong your anger and disfavor and spread it out to all generations? We've got to do something to stop the disfavor. Hello? And the minute you think it's not disfavor on this nation now, just look in the newspaper. Many of you already know it before I do. It's got to turn around. It's going to turn around when we, the people of God, allow Him to create in us expectation in what He can do, His ability, His power, His nerve, His greatness, His goodness, His favor. Let me see if I can do this without taking all y'all's night away from you. One of our areas. I can't call it an area of expertise because we lost. We didn't win for about 18 years. God spoke to me to go to this place. And how He spoke to me was, I found out that it was run by witch doctors and religious demons. And I decided that we needed to put churches there. But of course it was a God idea. I cannot take credit for that. The things that come in your mind that you think are great ideas, God lets you have that idea. I wish you were that intelligent. He allows you to be that intelligent because He wants to use you. Please hear me. All right? Verse 6, will you not revive us again and that your people may rejoice in you, O God? Of course He will. We went for 10 years straight to this place with no converts. I can't tell you how discouraging that is to people that's used to winning, like myself and the other missionaries that work with me and the other pastors that's around me. We are people of success. We are not people that do things and it don't happen and we're okay with that. That is not part of us. We expect God to do what He says He'll do. We are in suspense and anticipation waiting on Him to do it. All these years go by, nothing happens. Finally, one old drunk got saved. Well, he can't really say he, because he was so drunk, he was laying in the ditch on the side of a gravel road. So you can't really know if he knew what, I don't even know if he knew what he was saying. But he prayed anyway. And he had a daughter that was dying with epilepsy, was getting harder and harder on her. So she'd go into these seizures and it'd last sometimes for 30 hours or so. And so he wanted us to pray for her. And so we went back, and that's how we got in. That's how we actually gained a foothold, because we laid hands on her, she got healed. And when she got healed, he went sober. And when he went sober, the whole family got saved. And then there you got your little church started. All right, then it grew into a pretty good sized church. It's around a couple of hundred converts now. All right, in a village that's big. Okay, but then we worked another 7.5 years with nobody else. Not another village opened up. And I mean, there's something like 75 villages in this valley and on this valley floor in these mountain, this region. And I mean, it's just completely run by witchcraft. And we just can't seem to find the right tool from heaven to break that thing open. And just, it was the beginning of this year. This is year 18 right here. We've been in there. Working, I mean, hard. I'm talking about, I can't tell you the thousands of man hours we put into it and the money and everything else we did to get these people saved. I mean, it's been hard. But see, the thing is, discipline, anticipation, suspense, expectation in the Holy Ghost. Trusting that God can do this, regardless of the political climate, regardless of the religious climate, regardless of the principalities governing and ruling spirits, those things will inevitably bow to the Holy Ghost if you'll hang there long enough. But it takes tenacious expectation. It don't take happy-go-lucky, it's going to work my way because it says so in Romans. Everything's working for the good, brother. Praise the Lord. Let's go eat some pizza. It's not how it works. It's a war. And we are going to fight it and win it. Saturday. What day is today? Thursday. Last Saturday, I was in Mexico. I had a meeting with my elders. And the guy who's actually heading our work up right now, he's over about 120 of our churches. Really, really a powerful man in the Holy Ghost. Good guy. He said, Brother David, I have something I just got to tell you. We've been working so long and hard. And when he named the area, I just stopped. I just froze. I said, is it good? He said, it's real good. I said, okay, then you can go ahead. I didn't want to hear any more bad news about that place. I've heard my limit of it. Now listen to this. God spoke, it was back in March, first part of March. One of our young ministers, there ain't one part of him that ain't on fire. Every cell in his body is beaming with the fire of God. I just love being around him. He's young. He just complete energy. Ah! And I love it. I just like to look at him, just watch him burn. It just lights me on fire. I enjoy it. It's good to me. And so he's there, and he comes rocking up to me, and he is this elder that I'm talking about, this director. He's his right hand man. He's his right arm. They're over all these churches, and I mean, they're just souls and miracles and new churches, and what I've worked my whole life to try to get going is just going. All right. And he comes up, Brother Dave, can I tell you something? I said, help yourself, son. He said, God spoke to me. And then I just froze to look at him because, I mean, he's young, you know, and he's energetic and he's all these things. But for him to hear God and all that energy is difficult. I said, what did he say? He said, he's going to give me this area. We were standing in the middle of that place I just described to you that was so horrible for all them years. We were standing there having a great service, and he said, God spoke to me that he's going to give this to me. I said, let me get this all straight. You're from another state, son. Yes, sir. You are working under a ministry that is on fire. Y'all are raising the dead, healing the sick, casting out devils. There's not a day goes by that y'all don't open up a new church somewhere now. Yes, sir, I know that. And you're going to leave all of that, and you're going to come over here and fight with these witch doctors. He said, absolutely. I said, you're out of your mind. I said, you completely have it perfect in life. You've got four elders over you, of which I'm one of. And we're going to direct you in your energy and going in these places, but it's in another state, not here. These people will kill you, son. You won't make it to daylight. He said, that's what the devil told me. I said, let me ask you a question, boy. I said, where did you hear this kind of language? He said, you taught me. I said, all right, okay, all right. All right, where did you get your theology? From you, Brother David. Okay, all right, all right. What does your wife say? She said, Brother David won't let us down. He'll tell us the truth. I said, oh, God. All right. She said, wow. Okay. I'm fixing to pawn off the responsibility. I said, so what does your director say? Well, he's right over there. Go ask him. I said, no, you go get it. I'm not going anywhere. So they all, here we had these right in the middle. I mean, this is another one of those fire services. All right. It's in the middle of it. I said, do you understand this kid says he's going over here and going to work here? This is the only church we've got. He said, yeah, it's a great idea, don't you think? I said, no, I don't think. What are you going to do? Now watch what he said to me. I'm going to raise me up another flaming torch just like him. I said, how do you know how to do that? You taught us, Brother David. I said, okay, fine. So you think it's God? He said, I don't know, we'll see. I said, all right, I can live with that. Now watch. I mean, soon as we laid hands on them, sent them out, did the whole thing the way you're supposed to, the way we see you're supposed to. All the elders' blessings and everything else. So he took his family, left his home, no money, no place to stay, no acceptance, nothing. There's nothing. And he goes over there, and I mean in less than, watch this, less than 2 weeks, they had five churches. All right, and I've been working there 18 years and got one. Oh, these young'uns are something, aren't they? I like it when they do this. Because they heard God. You got to let them hear God. And they're your best. It's going to be your best. Because I was thinking this guy's going to take the place of this director when time comes. And he still will, but the work's going to be 500 times bigger is the thing. They were out there for several months, and then they went to church one night, and I think they had like seven visits or seven little fledgling mission churches started, which is a lot out there. And when they got to church, the brothers weren't there waiting on them. There were 600 armed men. 600, that's a bunch. That's an entire army. It depends on whether you know what army is or not. But to us, when it's one of us and it's 600 of them, it's an army. Now watch. We're going to kill you if you come here and preach the gospel again. You know what his answer was to those people? Does anybody know? Yeah, that's what the devil told me. And Brother David. Serious, that's what he said. Because that's what happened. He wasn't aligning me with no devil. That's just what happened. All right. Now, I love this. You know what he told them? Does anybody know? God told me to come here. They said, who? God. Well, which God? Now, what's his answer? The only wise and true God. The creator of heaven and earth. The God that's allowing you to breathe right now. He told me to come here. They said, well, we got to have a meeting about this. When are you coming back? He told them. I mean, this kid is out of his mind. So he goes back and tells his elder, look here, we got a meeting with these people. They're going to kill us. Now what's this? And they want you to be there. His answer was, where's Brother David? He called my son, Jody, on the phone. Where's Brother David? Well, Brother David's in India. And when I heard this, I went, ooh, yes! I mean, India, Pakistan, I mean, Mexico, it's all the same. But anyway, this is awesome. They got there. They had all these weapons. I mean, every kind of gun, firearm you can think of. They're going to hang them and shoot them, make them a spectacle. They've already killed one pastor. It was 22 years ago. It was one of our pastors. They killed him. All right? So we know they're serious, don't we? I sure don't want to lose this kid. But I don't know this is going on. I'm off around the world in Asia. They decided that they was going to kill him. You know what he did? He stood up in front of these armed men, got elders and everything else from our work there. He said, you cannot kill me. You don't have the capacity. Isn't that so? What was in his heart? It wasn't fear. It was expectancy. He believed that heaven told him to go. He believed that God would work it out for him to do it. Isn't that something? They said, well, we got to talk about this some more. So they sent him off and they asked him when it's coming back. They had 5 meetings. Going to kill him every time. And they never did kill him. And then the last time they decided, all right, they're coming on this day. We're not going to talk no more. We're going to ambush them and just kill them. No more talking, because when they talk to us, something holds us back. I wonder if you're hearing what I'm saying. They're sitting there. They got whiskey, moonshine. They got the courage by their false gods, right? They got the weapons. They got the superior numbers. They got everything. They are the authorities of the towns. They have the law on their side. They have it all. But for some reason, when that kid stands up and talks to them, nobody can move. So they decided to ambush him. The 6th time. So watch what the Holy Ghost does. Over in the other state, the director had called a meeting. And this kid, of course, had to go. He's there. And in the middle of the meeting, the Spirit of God spoke audibly to 4 men the same words. Do not go to X place. They were going in the morning. So they all said, I heard this. And 4 men stood up, me too, me too, me too. So what they did is had a prayer meeting for the place instead. These men are waiting. They never came, never came, never came. So they got frustrated. Then they went on at a later date, unannounced. When they got there, the word spread. These people come. And they were angry because they didn't come on time. Because they wanted to kill them. Now watch what they did. 600 armed radicals. What's this? In front of 4 men, unarmed. Men of God, they laid their weapons on the ground and said, you have free rein to preach your gospel here. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? I'm telling you about the power of God. I'm telling you about what Jesus wants to do in your life. I'm not here wasting my time. I'm here creating expectancy. What we've got to do, we've got to help each other create a platform for God to work on. Did you hear that? I wonder if you heard what I just said to you. All right. Now, when did we start? I forgot. Can we have a few more minutes? Really, really? I want to tell you something that's happened, another thing that's happened is all these things are astounding to me that God would let me be part of it. It's just awesome to me. But look what it says in verse 7. Show us mercy, this is amplified again, and loving kindness, O Lord, grant us your salvation. Look at verse 8. This is amplified. I will listen with expectancy. Isn't that something? I tell you, that's something. Listen to me. That Holy Ghost is speaking. This planet is on fire. There is no lack of the river of God. There is no lack of the fire of God. Y'all, there is no lack of it. In your spirit, there may be. Whose fault is that? It certainly isn't mine, and it certainly isn't heaven's. There's something God wants to do. There's a term that I'm fixing to get to here called tabernacling. Do you know what that means? God wants to come down to his people and abide. That's what tabernacling is. And it don't make a difference where they are. It doesn't have to be a particular place. Used to, he was in one location. Now he's mundial. He's worldwide. People that will seek God and know God, he will heal their land. He will take disgrace and disfavor and dishonor away and give us favor and honor and healing. I'm telling you, I'm seeing it in nations all over the world. You're going to have to give it up that your knowledge may be blocking you from true humility and submission. You need expectancy in your spirit from the Holy Ghost. I will listen with expectancy to what God the Lord will say, for he will speak peace. Because I don't know if you're hearing the undertow, underlying things I'm saying. Everything goes to peace. Starts out at war, starts out at sickness, disease, murder, temptation, but it goes to peace. You hearing me? I'm telling you, God's speaking peace to his people. And we must walk in it and receive it. Please. To his saints, those who stand right with him, but let them not turn again to self-confident folly. See, what I'm fixing to say to you right now, something just happened to us. There's no way. I was the least thing on my list was confidence. And the Holy Ghost came in with astounding favor and power. My confidence grew to a level. Now I'm at a place I've never been before. I personally have never been where I'm at now. You can say words to me and I can instantly tell you whether it's God or not. No, and I won't even listen to you. I'll just cut you off. No. Is that true or not, Miss Hogan? She's a good example. I will not listen to treachery, insolence, I will not listen to. I'm going for peace. And now listen, peace is secured through war, through superior power. Do you hear me? Okay. I just wonder if you listen. Because there's something that we're going. See, back in January, we had planned a 40-day fast for a long time. And in January, we started. Me and the elders started the first 10-day lockdown, we call it, where you don't see anybody. You're in an apartment or wherever you're at, and you're seeking God, and you're hating the devil, and on and on and on, right? And you're not eating or nothing else. And I was blessed to go 6 days this time with no water, no liquids of any kind, just sitting and listening to the Bible on CD, just in several languages, just seeking God, just sitting there 10 or 15, 18 hours a day praying in tongues. It was wonderful. It's just amazing how awesome that is. And then when I came out, another group started. We had four of those groups of 10. And the rest of us went then the other 30 days, but out in the work with fluids and such. Okay? All right. Since then, since those days of seeking God that ended on February the 28th this year, we started on the 19th of January and finished on the 28th of February this year. And we already have another one planned for April next year. So we're after it. You got it? There has been so much happen and so much good and so much awesome. I can't hardly talk to you for smiling. It's just Holy Ghost. Areas in our work that we didn't even know were lacking have been brought up to par. They are on a keel of power that we've never seen. There's a man, Brother Pitts met him a while ago, Ms. Mary. They met him at the airport with me. He flew from Tennessee to meet with me for 2 hours this afternoon, and he went on to Cleveland. And then he's going back. He's from Pakistan. He's a Pakistan citizen, native born. But he's been trying to get me to go to Pakistan for 12 years. And I've been telling him no for 12 years. And these brothers over in, this is the wildest story you've ever heard. I mean, this is up there with the best of them. These brothers over in Switzerland decided that I needed to meet the guy. Because I don't know what you know about Pakistan, but it's got lots of trouble. It is one of the epicenters for every kind of danger there is on the planet right now. Currently now as we're alive. It is a hot spot and hotbed for everything. There's everything known to man there. I've been there now. I've seen it. All right. But you're driven by fear in your mind, you people sitting in here tonight. Because in the morning, if I said, hey, I got you a ticket to go with me to Pakistan or to Afghanistan, you wouldn't get on the jet. I doubt if you could get the visa in the first place. Because that takes the Holy Ghost. All right. Now watch. He flew from Pakistan to Switzerland because I wouldn't even, the only thing came out of my mouth to that man was, no, I'm not coming. I've got my work. I'm doing what I'm called to do. I'm in the mountains in Mexico. I'm working with unreached people. I'm good for the rest of my life, plus 10 more lives. I got plenty to do. I don't need to be tramping around all over the world and every hotbed that hops up and me go put the fire out. That's not what I'm called to do. I'm called to raise the dead where I work. They fly him to Switzerland. They set me up. They said, Brother David, you're an American. Absolutely. Y'all eat steaks in America. I said, I do, yes. Well then, we're going to cook you a Texas-style steak. I said, well, I'll be there. Even your rendition of steak would be all right. Got there, and I walked down these steps in this backyard. It's perfect. Listen, there are apostles, prophets. You just wish you could have been there. Let's put it like that. These men are powerful in God. They are shaking our planet currently. And I go walking down them steps, and I'm looking around at the who's who's there. I'm going, whoa, dude, how did I get invited? My God. And there he was sitting there. Pakistan man, he's a dignitary, he's an important fella. You know, you can just tell he's one of the more highly educated men I've ever been around. He speaks several languages. He's just an awesome guy. You know, and we're sitting there, and neither one of us will talk. Because I done told him no for 12 years. And he's sitting there looking at me in the face. And trust me, it's just as easy sitting there looking at somebody as it is on the phone. I know how to say no. Because God is not speaking, I'm not going to. So he starts telling me, finally, they started asking him questions because it was real tense. You can't imagine what it's like getting around prophets and apostles. I mean, it's just tense. I mean, it's tense. That's all I can say. And so we're sitting there, you know, and he starts telling me about Pakistan and how it is. And finally he says to me, Brother David, we've got 2,000, listen to this number, 2,500 house churches in Pakistan. You see, you ain't hearing that, are you? No, you're not. I've seen them now. It's real, okay? How real is it? You saw it today. I hugged and kissed on that man when I saw him, didn't I? It's real. He said, we need you. And I looked at him. Listen to me. This is what I hear. Y'all have miracles, signs, wonders. You have people being saved in an Islam state, in a Muslim state. You are starting churches. That's impossible. You don't need me. You're doing great. So he fell quiet for a while, a good long while. Finally he said, Brother David, Pakistan needs you. I said, listen, I am a boy that was raised in Louisiana. I am a guy that enjoys swamps and the things that are in them. I like it. If it moves in a swamp, I like to eat it even. It's good. I don't need to go to a place that's a desert. No. Now what? But he never did get mad at me. The best way to handle me is with asbestos gloves and patience. Isn't that right? And he says to me, Brother David, we cannot raise the dead. We don't know. Watch this. Here's what he exactly did. He said, we cannot take that step into the power that my nation needs. And when he said that, my heart was smote. I said, I'll be there. Just that easy. See how easy life is? He said, well, when are you coming? I said, all right. Let me think about that a minute. So I set it up for, when was it, April, right, this year? End of April. Boy, I just can't tell you, they started bombing churches. Remember all that? Went on this year, killing people right and left, Christians, they're crucifying them, filleting them. Man, it got rough at the first of the year, didn't it? Whoo, in Pakistan. We're supposed to be on a jet, and they killed 57 Christians with one bomb. Do you remember that at all? And it was one of his churches. Now, all right, that's not exciting to me. I can't tell you that I had fear, but I can tell you fear was definitely messing with me. Because I don't fear them. I apologize to you. There ain't nothing any radicals got that I can't stop. The Holy Ghost can stop it. Do you hear me? But it does matter if I'm supposed to be there or not. Now, how to get all that coordinated is not easy to do. And I don't know how to tell you to do it. It takes heaven to step into your life. You got to listen with expectancy to what the word of the Lord is. You can't see with your eye the circumstances that's current right now taking place and make your judgments in the Holy Ghost on what you see with your natural eye. You're what's called a loser if you do that. Listen, all of those bombings were taking place. No visas are extended to civilians. By our government is saying no visas. You hear me? My office phone started ringing. 9 prophets called. Brother David, you're going on a trip. don't go. Nine. Not one of them said, thus saith the Lord, you're going to be all right. Every one of them said, if you go, you're probably not coming back. And I'm going, what is this? I didn't tell a soul. You don't tell people when you're traveling to those places. See, everything that's available is being used tactically by the devil against us. Even prophets. Oops. Hello. So it came down to it. I told my son-in-law, he was the one working on this whole, all these trips we made just now. I said, listen, son, I'm going to put a fleece. I know y'all disagree with that. You're supposed to be more mature than that. But, you know, Gideon won the whole war and you hadn't won nothing. So I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to listen to Gideon. Sha. At least he's got proof that his fleece works. You all, you got some now. That's mad at me because I'm trying to figure something out. I said, son, only God can get me a visa. But it ain't going to happen. So send my passport off. Don't worry about it. So we sent the passport off. It's supposed to take 2 weeks before we hear our first. We got it in 5 days, multiple entry. All you want to stay, do whatever you want to do. Come on. I go, no. No, I threw my passport on the ground. This is some kind of a trick. There's something wrong with this. This can't happen. It's not only it doesn't, it can't. I can't read what it says. It's in Urdu. Only thing I know is you read it from right to left. But it still didn't help. It's a bunch of lines. This is wild. You hear me? Now listen to this. My son-in-law comes in there. I said, I ain't going. He said, Brother David, you told me. And you told those people, if you got that visa, you's going. Oh, you're working for the devil, I said. I see it plain now. He said, no, sir. I'm not. I'm working for the Holy Ghost. And I didn't answer him. I was pretty upset. So I went and got Miss Hogan by the hand, you know, and I started talking softly to my wife. How you doing, Miss Hogan? Oh, I'm doing fine. But she's caught on quick. She's smart, too. I said, listen to me. You're the one with the most to lose. If I go over there and get killed, you lose the most. Okay? In your heart, inside of you, we're alone here. Ain't nobody going to hear this conversation. Do you have fear of me going? She said, no way. I don't. She said, I'm nervous. I'm anxious. But as far as you having fear, or fear of losing you, I don't have it. I said, fine. That settles it. I'm going. Because listen to me, I want you to hear now what I'm teaching y'all a good lesson. Because this is how humans think. And this is how the devil operates to stop us from doing God's powerful deeds. But we've got to step into it in faith. Nothing is comfortable for me. I have lived where I live. If you came to where I live in Mexico, you would be so out of place. So put out, so fearful, dread would just consume you. And me, I'm over there enjoying it. Because I'm there because of Jesus. And I don't know why you're there. I guess to get scared. I mean, I don't know why you're there. But look. Let's figure this out. Let's just look at it just for a second. A second long. We're almost through. It's going to bless you. It really is. What I do in Mexico, I can do it. None of you can. I can raise the dead. I can go in villages that's never heard the gospel. I can blow them things wide open. Valleys, entire mountain regions. We can roll in with a machine and just take it. And that's what we're doing. But go to another part of the world alone with none of my men, none of our resources, none of our contacts, none of the things that's built up over the last 32 years, none of those things available to me, can I walk in the same faith that I did the day I stepped into Mexico? Now, isn't that the issue, isn't it? I want to know if that's not the issue. That is the issue. The luster of faith you had in the beginning days of your salvation. Where is it? It's been taken, hasn't it? By success. By complacency. By satisfaction. Lots of different things have eaten on it, haven't they? Of course it has. And you know, I'm sitting there thinking, I can do this work here in Mexico. I am fighting the largest known devil. I'm fighting it, and I can beat it. But can I beat the second, third, and the fourth biggest? That's unknown for me. So I told Miss Hogan, I said, I got it now. I know what heaven's doing. God's wanting to upgrade my rank in the Holy Ghost. He wants me, 30-something years in ministry, to step into the same faith it took me to step into Mexico. Can I do it? And I told her, I've got to see. I want to do this. I was as giddy as a little kid. I told her, I know it's dangerous. I understand the consequences. I know what you stand to lose. I understand all of those things. But I've got to do this. I am compelled. It's way bigger than one man's invitation to Pakistan. This is a God thing to get me moving in the right way so I can know how to talk to you. So I can motivate you in the right direction. When I got off that jet and we was in New Delhi, India, I had flown for 22 hours. Slept for six, got on a jet the next morning, flew up to the northeast coast of India. I'm 30 miles from Nepal, 17 miles from Bhutan, 43 miles from China. And instead of it being the normal 600 pastors that had registered, there was 1,500 pastors came. India, Bangladesh, Bhutan, Nepal, Tibet, China. And you know what they come for? Because every one of those people live under the same conditions that I live in Mexico. Every one of them get up in the morning and brush their teeth with faith. All of them do. But they haven't figured that step out. That elusive power of might in the Holy Ghost that rains down on you and covers you and governs your life. And neither of you found it, but I have. And I'm here to help you with it. I'm not here to gloat over you, lord over you. I'm here to invite you to the peace and the power that's there through expectancy. And listening with expectancy to that great Holy Ghost. Because I've seen it now. You ought to have seen those men. You ought to have seen them. Golly, it was amazing. 15 to 25% of those people that were in those meetings won't be there next time I go back because they will have been martyred. Do you hear me? And you don't hear a word about it. You worry about should you get Don Juan's cafe from Colombia or Starbucks. I mean, that's a big choice. You know, I mean, that's hard. Come on. The Holy Ghost is bigger than that. Isn't he? Come on, now. Let's step into this glorious Holy Ghost. It's for all of us. It don't make the difference what you've done in the past. I'm offering you a different angle, a different ability. I've seen it. And let me tell you, we got on a jet. Pakistan and India at war. I don't know if you realize that. And I'm going to the Punjab. That's just south of where the war is. And you listen to me. I'm going on Indian Airlines. And you listen to me. I'm going on Indian Airlines into Lahore, Pakistan. Boy. Oh. I can't tell you how hard that was. Everything about it was great. It's just the fear and the dread and the unknown and the circumstances and the bombings and the killings and the hate and all of those things. And they're very real in all of those nations, just like they are here. Yours is just masked a little differently. But it's the same. It's a devil. And it must be confronted with the peace of the power of God. Holy Ghost. I got off that jet and I met with that man that met us today. Took us to eat. He said, "Where do you want to eat?" He said, "Most Americans want something American. I don't want American. I came here. This is Pakistan. You take me to eat Pakistan food." So he carried us into a restaurant. Oh, dude, it's good. Listen to me. Just trust me on this. That's good food. We went the next morning, got on a bus. Now, is that not one of the major targets of these suicide bombers? We get on a bus. We travel 4.5 hours from Lahore, Pakistan to Islamabad, Pakistan, the capital, 30 miles from Afghanistan. One of the centers for Al-Qaeda. I said it on tape. Listen to me. I didn't know what we were going to do. I actually, in my mind, had it figured that we was going to go to somewhere in some, you know, underground facility, you know, and have a private meeting with spooks. You know, underground people that nobody got told about the meetings, that you had to hear the Holy Ghost to come to them. That's how I got it figured. I mean, it is against the law for you to be a Christian in Pakistan. So listen to me. I'm going, you know, I'm telling my son-in-law, it was two of us. I told Ms. Hogan, I'm going to have my passport in a thing hid behind my belt and some U.S. dollars and a couple of credit cards, and everything else is disposable. And don't worry about what you hear on the news. We'll turn up somewhere. Now listen, he comes, gets us. The meeting's supposed to be at 7:30 at night. They come at 9 o'clock. And I'm going, "Did y'all already have the meeting?" He said, "No, we're waiting on you, man." I said, "It's 9 o'clock. That's a great time to start, don't you think?" I said, "Fine with me. Where are we going?" "Oh, we thought we'd do an open air meeting in the most strict sect of Islam here in Islamabad." I said, "What?" Now, what I'm saying to you, there's no way for your mind to capture it unless you're standing there beside me where we was. I said, "We're going to have an open air meeting." I said, and then this thing, it's you would call it anger. God calls it courage. This thing come on me. I said, "You're taking me. You know I'm a target. I have a target painted on me. I've got a blue passport. I'm a dead man. You take me in there, they're going to kill me." I said, "Listen to me. You going?" He said, "I'm your interpreter." I said, "Get in the car." I said, "Let me tell you something, Doc." He's a doctor. I said, "Let me tell you something, Doc. You can do it. You're looking at one that can do it, brother. Let's go. You just mark it as high and as dangerous. You just put me as vulnerable as you want to. You're going to see the Holy Ghost. You done lit me on fire. Let's go. Get in the car." Golly, I can't tell you the energy that came on me. It was amazing. I get there. Listen to this. The thing between us and the outside world was like a sheet thickness. And it was a fence they had made 10 foot tall out of this cloth. And they put all these rugs down on the whole 1 acre lot. And that's where you have church. And I walked out of that car, pulled me right up to that gate. I walked right inside that thing. There's no security. There's nothing. And I walked into that place and I looked, and as far as I could see, there was people. Ended up the first night, 3,250 people came. Almost entirely Muslims. I didn't know what. They gave me these flowers. They went through all their traditional things they do. It was all I can say is it's awesome. I didn't know. What do you say? Everything you say is going to be edited and manipulated. And I mean, so I just decided. I told my son-in-law, I said, I'm just going to preach the gospel. I've got no other choice. I am not smart enough to figure out how not to get in trouble. I cannot do this. I'm going to preach the gospel. So I got up there and preached one of the most powerful gospel messages I've ever preached in my life. And watch this. The first night, 1,230 people got born again. I'm wondering if you heard what I just said to you. And they were Muslims. You need to hear this. During all the meetings that we were there over the next few days, 5,200 some odd people got born again. Muslims. What's this? The first night, I said, all right. After we went through that salvation, I was just floored. I was in like a dreamland somewhere. It was like I wasn't even there, but I was. I mean, I'm serious. It was like a drug. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost was on us. I said, who's sick? They come up, about 500 people came up there. I'm talking open cancers and tumors and blind and halt and maimed and cataracts and tuberculosis and diabetes and everything. And they're just laying there. Now watch. The first time that I said it out of my mouth in Islamabad, Pakistan, was this way. Be healed in Jesus' name. Just that simple. Instantly, 162 people were healed. You name a disease, it was healed. For y'all that are wondering about cataracts, I've got you an answer. It don't matter what the devil says. It don't matter what the doctor says. It don't matter what anybody else says. I've seen it with my own eyes. I lined up a couple of dozen cataracts, solid white. They can't see a thing. Now watch. Watch this. Here's how you do it. I'm going to show you how. Be healed. And just like that. And it's usually started from the way I moved. You should have seen it. It was like you take wind, blow on dust. You know how it picks up and moves? Just blew out of those people's eyes by the dozens. I've never seen it in my life. Should have seen it. Lahore, Pakistan. The first crowd in Lahore was 4,000. Three metal detectors to get into church. Four types of different securities. They are going to kill us. But before they do, let's see what we can get done. Hey, you understand? Hey, the threat is real. Every service, every night, 30 cal machine guns going off with tracers over our services. You ought to hear that. You can't believe how your hair raised on the back of your neck. It's just... Watch this. I'll stop with this. I don't want to because I am on fire. And it's not my fault. Listen. I saw this. Your problem with me is not whether I'm theologically correct or sound or none of those things. Whether my rhetoric is right or you know, it's not going to be. I come from a swamp, man. But listen to me. I saw something, y'all. I saw it. Do you know what it's like for a Muslim woman that's dressed in black from head to toe? Do you know who they are? They are one of the most strict allowances in Islam. She came up. Watch this. All I could see was her two eyes. I couldn't even see her forehead. Just her eyes is all I could see. Covered all the way down. Black. I mean, but she's... Actually, to me, she was awesome looking. I was impressed. And she comes up there and she's carrying this 16-year-old boy. And I saw this. I saw it. Your problem with me is not whether I was right or wrong about doing it. Your problem with me is I saw Jesus do this. I saw him along with 4,000 other people. She comes up there. She is one of the strictest sects of Muslims that there is. She laid that boy down on that stage, and she's just looking at me. I mean, she has got the look. You don't know the look? You need that gaze on you. It strikes fear in a grown man. I mean, there is power behind these spirits. You hear me? And I'm standing there looking at this lady, and she's just looking at me. And then walk up these two men. I mean, they look just like the television. And they come walking up, they're standing right, the daddy and the daddy-in-law. And they're all dressed in solid white with green turbans. Anybody understand the green turban? I ain't going to say it out of my mouth on tape. But anyway, it's strict. They're sitting there, and they're looking right at me. I didn't know what they all were. I didn't have a clue. 16-year-old boy, cerebral palsy, blind from birth. Did you hear me? And I asked the doc, I said, what do they want? Now listen to this. Of the most strict sect that I personally ran into, they're from there. She wants me, watch this, ask Jesus to heal my baby. Are you understanding the magnitude, the repercussions, the power that could evolve out of this? And I walked right up to her. I mean, right close. And I looked her right in the face. Of course, I couldn't see nothing but her eyes. And I'm just looking at her. I mean, there are thousands of people watching. And I walked down to the daddy, because I'll tell you this. Say what you want to. I'm not afraid of him, buddy. I apologize to you. I just don't have it in me to be afraid. I was face to face with it, and I had the courage. You don't know if you've got the courage. You cannot be intimidated by a lying spirit. I refute that power. In Jesus' name. And I said to her, you want your baby healed? Yes. It's okay. I walked over there. Watch. This is how it went. Like that post is that kid sitting on the big giant platform. Be healed. And I walked back over to the back and I knelt down on the floor and I was just praying, Holy Ghost, please. And I heard the roar of the crowd. And I stand up. And with my own eyes, I'm watching this kid. I'm hearing his bones crack as the cerebral palsy is being ripped out of his body. He stood up healed. And then his eyes opened. And he went around. He don't know. He don't know who the enemy is and who the enemy's not. He is innocent. He has never seen in his life. He's heard a lot of talk, but he has never seen who's who. Completely innocent. And he's walking to Muslims and to Christians, and finally he got to me. He was touching my skin. I'm the wrong color. Look, he's trying to touch my eyes. And there was a doctor that was up on the stage with us that was interpreting all these miracles for everybody. She said, he wants to know the color of your eyes. I said, green and brown. We call it hazel. She interpreted. He just walked off, just touching everything. And first time in his life he's walked, first time in his life he's ever seen anything. Now let me tell you what mom and daddy did. You want to see it? You interested? All right. This is what they did. This is their shot on what we did. They watched there, and I mean them eyes got big. And then here's what they did. How do I accept Jesus as Lord? Huh? Our weakest night, we had 700 people saved. Our weakest night, 75 instant healing. Weakest. Should have seen it. They came from everywhere. The soldiers that were sent to protect us laid their weapons down and got in line, and they were just like this. I've got video of it. You ought to see it. It's amazing. Now listen to me. There's a lot more. Went from there to Brazil. Went from Brazil to Australia, from there to New Zealand, from there to Hawaii, from there to here. Well, listen. We're going to stand up. We're not going to take all night. I already did. We're going to just ask Jesus to touch us. If you need healing, please let us pray with you. Please. If you need your spirit renovated and you say, well, I'm on fire, but what you're saying is way over here. I know. Let's go. I know exactly what I'm asking you for. I am not a novice. I've got new stripes. And I'm real, and it's right. You listening? I've seen it with my own eyes. You ought to see it. That's all I can tell you. It's active, and it's on the planet. And it's wonderful. One of my main directors told me the other day, they've had so many miracles. He was talking so fast. He was running all these miracles together. There was a guy, he was hunchbacked and froze from birth, little bitty baby, and grew up hunchbacked. Got the big knob on his back and everything, and he's all drawn up with all these rheumatoid arthritis and all these things are on him. They went and laid hands on him, and overnight, he became like one of us, natural. Overnight. Overnight. Wow. All I can tell you is I'm right. I don't care about your theology. I care about your spirit. I just care about you being friendly to the Holy Ghost. That's what I care about. Will you please stand? Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. We're going to do music, or we're going to do a tape, or what are we going to do? We'll do a little music. Because it doesn't matter to me. Some of the wildest stuff I ever heard in my life was in Pakistan. That music is wild. I'll tell you right now, if you one of these people have to have it soft in your way, you won't make it. It's wild, boy. I'm serious. There was some instruments I had never seen before. And all these people's getting saved and healed, they work. All I know to tell you is they work. Holy Ghost. You see how relaxed I seem? That's a big mistake. Because I'm not. I am on fire. Inside I am radically turbulent. Full of the Holy Ghost. And I want you. Look, just because you get touched by this stuff don't mean you got to pack your bags and go to Pakistan or India or Bhutan, Nepal, China, Tibet. That ain't even in my mind asked you that. I told Brother Pitts today, you can't even go with me to them places without signing an affidavit in a release form. I am not allowing it. It's rough. But boy, oh boy, is God there. It's awesome, huh? I got put on TV in Brazil, like kind of like our C-SPAN. I got invited by the mayor of Manaus to come before their cabinet. And I went in there, and I'm sitting at his left. And he says, "Brother David, we want you to say something, you know, for about 10 minutes. I said, "All right." I'm in front of the cabinet that runs Brazil. Did you hear what I said? Okay. And then it dawns on me, wonder what he wants me to say. So I ask him, "Say, what is it you want me to say?" Now watch this. He's a Baptist man. Loves Jesus. Here's what he told me. He said, "We want to know how to get the power of God into the Amazon basin and raise some of these dead people we're losing." And I looked at him, I said, "I can do that. Thank you. That's all I need to know." And I got a chance to talk on television, public national television in Brazil for 15 minutes and tell them that Jesus is wanting to raise the dead in Brazil. All right. Now, before we go, before we pray, some of you are going to go. I'm not yet. In Pakistan, recorded history to now, there have never been dead raisings. Since we left, there are 2 documented dead raisings in Pakistan. Did you hear me? Okay. I understand it's a hotbed. I understand it's turmoil. I understand it's this, it's that, it's that. And it really is that. But so is the Holy Ghost really who He is. Did you hear? Are you hearing what I'm saying? I've got to tell you that Jesus is King. Jesus is. Jesus is. Jesus is King. In New Zealand, on the South Island, a place called Nelson, boasts of one of the most beautiful sun places of sun in the whole world. Awesome place. Nelson, South Island, New Zealand. 15-year-old boy walks up to me in a service in conservative New Zealand. He said to me these words. He said, "I believe what you said." I said, "That's good, son. What do you need?" And he raised his shirt up, and there are these big knots on his joints. He said, "Rheumatoid arthritis. It's going to kill me before I'm 30. They say I'll never make 30. I said, "Well, let's just see what the Holy Ghost says." I hit that kid. I mean, heaven plowed him. The next night, watch this. The pastor comes to me. "Brother David, what are we going to do?" I said, "What are you talking about?" "That boy you prayed for last night with that rheumatoid arthritis is here. He's been at the doctor all day. He's completely healed." I said, "We're not going to do anything." He said, I think I should give him the microphone." I said, "If you do, I won't even have to preach." And that kid got that microphone. Now here's what came out of his mouth. Watch. "Thank you for the gospel, Brother David." And this is a 15-year-old kid. "Thank you for the gospel. It saved my life." You ought to hear. Of course, you can see what it's doing to you. Should have been there, is all I can tell you. Man. I told him, "No, son, it's Jesus. It's not me. You did hear the gospel, but it's Jesus. It's the truth. It is the truth." Great Holy Ghost. This is what we're going to do. If you don't know Jesus, or if you're backslidden in your spirit, or if you're sick in your body, or if you need that expectancy in your spirit to rise, I want you to come down here with me. And I'm going to have some ushers and some people to coordinate this and make it where it'll be not a confused. Okay. Can I drink some of this water? Oh, thanks. I've been up here needing it. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Great Holy Ghost. A man walked up to me the other day in Australia, dying with advanced Crohn's. Just before bedridden. He was really pallid, man. He was rough. Watch what he says. They tell me that your Jesus can help me. You know what our response was? They told you right. Isn't that good? Crohn's advanced. Four organs. I said, listen, you don't do nothing but stand there and just watch me. I said, now what I'm fixing to do next is going to be fun. I'm finna hit you. I reared back and punched him. Hit him right square in the chest. Knocked him down. But he didn't get up. Some people told me, did you kill him? No. No, I didn't kill him. 3 days went by. They carried me out to the car, which happens a lot. I hope tonight is one of those times. Yeah, I hope it happens. I want it to happen. The most important thing you could ever do is be touched by the Holy Ghost. Do you understand that? It don't matter how valuable you are really to society as far as a human being on earthly issues. Letting God touch you is the most important thing you can do. They carried me out to the car. And he grabbed the door handle of the car and he says, let me tell you something. I said, who are you? He said, I'm the guy that had the Crohn. I said, I remember you. I hit you. He said, oh yeah. It hurt. He said, but I went to the doctor. No Crohn's and new organs. Go figure. That just happened. Brand new news. What a wonderful God. Mm-hmm. We're just going to let heaven touch us. We're not going to worry about who's around us. Who should have come. The issue is we came for Jesus. We want Jesus to touch us. Now, what is it you want? It's okay. Be specific. Formulate that in your mind. All right, that's as long as you're going to get. I have so much fun. You cannot believe how enjoyable it is for me to go in the realm of the devil that's never been challenged and walk in there and tell him, see ya. It irritates him. But I have fun. I personally, as an individual, have figured out how to have fun in adversity. You rejoice and make as many devils mad as you can while you're doing it. I'm not talking about just irritate them. I mean make them mad. And the way you can do that is to help people. You got it figured out what you want? Okay. It's okay. Let's go ahead and ask God for it right now. Just lift your voice up to heaven. Allow that great Holy Ghost to come. come through you. It's okay. Now what I don't want is I don't want anybody to get hurt. That Holy Ghost is coming in here. That great Holy Ghost is coming in this house. He is going to begin to touch people, heal people. And we're going to let Him. If you start feeling a little bit dizzy or woozy or whatever, I don't know what to call it, the Holy Ghost touches you, just sit down or go sit down on the bench. In a minute, if I'm not knocked out myself, just go ahead and holler at me. Great Holy Ghost. Hey, y'all have called out what you want, right? It's important that you're specific. And don't give me none of this hypo super spiritual gadgetry that y'all are used to. You're just as important as this entire nation is. Because if I can get you to understand what I just spoke out of my mouth to you, this entire nation will change. So you as a person, as an individual, are valuable. But you've got to listen with expectancy to the Holy Ghost. He is going to move in this house tonight. Mighty God of heaven and earth, we call on your presence right now in the name of Jesus. Sickness and disease, leave! The Lord rebuke you, devil, in Jesus' name. Fire and healing and health and life and peace, rejoicing and prosperity. We call on the gifts and healings of God's power. Come forth, mercy. Come forth, ability of God. Come forth, anointing. Fire. Come on, Holy. Come on, Holy Ghost. You will be healed in Jesus' name. You will be filled in Jesus' name. You will be revived and rejuvenated in Jesus' name. Every lack will be dispelled from you. You will be filled with mercy and grace. Spiritual blessing, physical blessing, honor, victory. Life in the Holy Ghost. Jesus is King. Need some ushers to start worshiping God. Right behind this lady right here. Be very courteous, but stay with me on it. Ready? Y'all go for it. That's a good idea too. Yes, sir. Great Holy Ghost. Put your hands on her back and just begin to pray for her. I don't know who you are, but if you're going to work with me, we're going to work in the Holy Ghost.
As far as the east is from the west, oh, that's how far He has removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, oh, that's how far He has removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, oh, that's how far He has removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, oh, that's how far He has removed our transgressions from us. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord.
The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. Gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. And the Lord, He is good to us, and He has compassion in all that He has made. How far He has removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, oh, that's how far He has removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far He has removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far He has removed our transgressions from us.
Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord. Thank you. so I will wait another day. And I will wait for you, Jesus, your son. Just can't climb. But like an eagle, you will carry me. So I will wait another day.